Coming off a couple difficult road losses against some really good teams, can Northwestern get back on track at home against Penn State? Let's talk about it.
You are Locked On Northwestern, your daily podcast on the Northwestern Wildcats, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome in. This is Locked On Northwestern, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Carter Bird, and thank you for making Locked On Northwestern your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. We're available wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find us. We're also on YouTube. Just search Locked On Northwestern. You can find us there. Wherever you're listening, make sure you're subscribed and you turn on notifications. You don't want to miss an episode, especially as we've been talking about this Northwestern basketball team and the amazing run that they've been on this season. Speaking of that Northwestern basketball team, let's talk about them right here, because Northwestern coming into this game coming up on Thursday. We're going to go ahead and preview this Penn State game. Northwestern is 20-9 overall, 11-7 in the Big Ten, still tied for second with, I think, three other teams in the Big Ten up there. Three teams are one game back. I think Michigan State might be a game and a half back, if I do recall. Northwestern is on a two-game losing streak right now. Two games ago, they had that 66-62 loss at Illinois. It was really an awesome first half, really enjoyable. One of the most fun first halves of the year. They built out a 37-19 lead, going 8 of 16 from three in that first half. A lot of that was powered by Boo Booey, who had 22 first half points in that game, as he could not miss. He was 5 of 8 from three, 8 of 15 from the field, 1 of 1 at the free throw line in that first half, as he got off to the best start we've seen him have all season long. That lead was helped by the fact that Illinois was 0 for 11 from three, as they were able to limit Illinois to just 19 points in the first half. Boo Booey actually outscoring the entire Illinois team by himself in that half. Well, then the second half started, and it was a lot less fun. Let's just put it that way, because Illinois caught fire in the second half, going 13 of 24 from the field, 54.2%, 7 of 13 from 3, 53.8%. And 14 of 17 at the free throw line, 82.4%. Terrence Shannon Jr., who had been held in check in the first half, he had 24 second half points, as he actually could not miss. He was 7 of 8 from the field, 4 of 4 from 3, and 6 of 9 at the free throw line. Matthew Mayer, he had 14 points in the half as well, 2 of 3 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, and 8 of 8 at the free throw line, as Northwestern fouled him twice from three. Boo Booey had 13 in the second half for Northwestern, but really ran out of gas and nobody else stepped up to help him. I mean, Brooks Barnheiser had 11 points for the game, and that was it. It was really difficult to watch as Boo did all of the heavy lifting. And then the last 10 minutes of the game, the guy was just out of gas and nobody else stepped up. Chase Audige had just 7 points. He's normally your number two go-to guy, and you also didn't get a great game out of Ty Berry or Robbie Barron or Titus Verhoeven or Matthew Nicholson. It was really Brooks Barnheiser, and that was it. It was frustrating to watch as Boo Booey finished with 35, Barnheiser with 11, and Illinois came back with a 47-25 second half performance to win the game. 66-62. The other one was a loss at Maryland, 75-69, a Maryland team that is really, really good. And it was a really competitive first half. Both teams hitting around 60% of their field goals. Northwestern, I love the ball movement. Got a bunch of open looks and hit a lot of them. Maryland on the other side just hit a bunch of difficult shots. Chase Audige got off to a hot start for Northwestern as he had 14 points in that first half. So he was 6 of 9 from the field, 2 of 3 from three. For Maryland, Jameer Young, he had 16 points. He was 6 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from three, as he matched Chase Audige in that first half. Maryland was an absurd 8 of 11 from three in that first half. And you just thought for sure they would not keep that up. They even hit a buzzer beater three to take a 41-39 lead to the half. Then when you looked at the second half, Maryland kept hitting their threes. They went 6 of 11 in the second half, which is still really good. A little bit worse than the first half, but still really good. I think that rattled Northwestern, as Maryland was pretty well balanced scoring up and down the roster. And Northwestern got rattled and lost its cool. And also, they just were really cold from the field in the second half. They went 8 of 26 from the field, the 1 of 9 from three, only got to the free throw line 4 times, hitting 3 of them. As the flow of the offense was not as good. The ball movement was not as good. The looks were not as good. Maryland ran away in the second half, 34-20, to win the game 75-59. And that's two really rough losses in a row on the road, but they come to the number 33 and number 21 teams in the net rankings. As a result, Northwestern kind of stabilized around number 41 in the net. Right now, they fell to number 47 in KenPom, but they're still looking great for the NCAA tournament at that 20-9 record and 11-7 in the Big Ten, where they've matched a school record for wins, Big Ten wins, to this point in the year. A chance here in the next two games to set a new mark with a 12th Big Ten win. Joe Lenardi kept Northwestern on the 6-seed line in his latest bracketology that got updated this morning. Jerry Palm and CBS has Northwestern as a 5-seed at the last time I saw it, which is encouraging. I mean, I'm not even sure if they were going to have a 5-seed before last week. I mean, so there really was no harm in the NCAA tournament seeding, but this Northwestern team is what really well primed to make the NCAA tournament and potentially have a pretty good draw where they could make a deeper run than I think some people are expecting. These next two games are an opportunity to improve the seeding. But obviously first up is this Penn State team that we're going to talk about here in just 1 second. But first, we got to talk about our friends at Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year. I think I'm doing a pretty good job of that right now. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then, man, I've got just the thing for you. You've got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't have to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now, you can find them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to your Sam's Club, run in and grab yourself a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later, but you got to get out there and you got to try these Built Bars. Also, thanks again for making Locked On Northwestern your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything you need to know about college basketball in one place. Plus, hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's talk about this Penn State team because they are 17-12 coming into this game on tomorrow. Holy cow, I don't know why I said Thursday earlier. Maybe because Northwestern's played so many games on Thursdays, it feels like recently. 17-12 overall, 8-10 in the Big Ten. They lost their last timeout 59-56 to Rutgers at home. They choked away a 19-point second half lead. Held Rutgers to 21 first half points on 27.3 shooting. You had to feel pretty encouraged about that coming into halftime, but they went cold in the second half. Penn State did, shooting just 25.9% from the field and scoring just 25 second half points. Meanwhile, Rutgers started to heat up. They shot 50% in the second half, 14 of 28, 4 of 8 from 3 as well, as they scored 38 second half points to pull off the 59-56 victory. In the three games before that, Penn State had built some momentum. They beat Illinois at home 93-81, Minnesota on the road 76-69, and Ohio State on the road 75-71 before that loss to Rutgers at home that really they should not have lost. They should be coming off a four-game winning streak when you look at it. They currently sit number 59 in the net rankings and number 49 in the KenPom. And their KenPom numbers are really, really, really fascinating when you look at it. They're good offensively. The number 14 team in adjusted offensive efficiency in the country. They are 55.9% on effective field goal percentage. That's good for ninth in the country. They're the number one team in offensive turnover percentage, turning it over just 13.1% of their possessions, but they are last in offensive rebounding percentage and free throw rate. So they're not good at getting to the free throw line. They are 363rd in the country in both of those categories. They shoot a ton of threes. They shoot threes at the fifth highest rate of any team in the country. And that's their three-point attempts divided by, I guess, the total field goal attempts that this team takes. They make 38.8% of their free throws, that or of their three-pointers, rather. That is good for 10th nationally, as they're a really, really good three-point shooting team. On defense, they're really bad at forcing turnovers. They're 361st out of 363 teams at forcing turnovers, and this Northwestern team, we know, is pretty good at hanging on to the basketball itself. I think it's 15th in turnover percentage on the offensive end. Currently, Penn State is in Joe Lenardi's next four out in ESPN's bracketology. Jerry Palm of CBS has Penn State as the second team in the first four out in CBS's bracketology. So this is a team that very much is fighting for its NCAA tournament life right now. And that makes them dangerous because they have a lot to play for. This team, when you watch them, they're pretty guard led and senior led. When you look at it, I think the leading five scorers on the team are all senior guards. Jalen Pickett, 6'4", 202-pound senior guard, averaging 18.5 points per game, 7.3 rebounds per game, and 6.8 assists per game. He shoots 52.9% from the field, 39.6% from three, and 80.5% at the free throw line. Next up, you have Seth Lundy, a 6'6", 220-pound senior kind of guard forward. I would say probably more of a wing kind of guy. 14.3 points per game, 6.2 rebounds per game, and 0.9 assists per game. Shooting 46.1% from the field, but 41.7% from three, 79.3% at the free throw line. Next up, Andrew Funk. He is the third player on this team that averages double figures, 6'5", 188-pound senior guard, 11.8 points per game, 2.6 rebounds per game, 1.2 assists per game. He shoots 43.4% from the field, but he is 40.3% from three and 82.1% from the free throw line. Next, you have Cameron Winter, a 6'2", 175-pound senior guard, 8.3 points per game, 2.7 rebounds per game, and 2 assists per game. He's 45.1% from the field, but he's 38.7% from three and 75.7% from the line. So if you're noticing a trend here, their guards can shoot from three. All of them can. Miles Dredd's next, 6'4", 220, another senior guard, 5.3 points per game, 1.9 rebounds per game, 0.8 assists per game, 38.8% from the field, but 36.2% from three, 83.3% at the free throw line. So that's five guards, and the worst one from three shoots 36.2%. There's other guys who can hit some threes on this team, but they're dangerous from deep. And we know Northwestern at times has struggled playing defense from three like they did on Sunday. They're big man to keep an eye on, the guy who's going to start but doesn't play a ton of minutes when you look at it. Keba Injai, 6'10", 237-pound freshman forward, 3.5 points per game, 3.7 rebounds per game, half an assist per game. He is 47.7% from the field and just 59.4% from the free throw line. He's not huge. I think Northwestern matches up well with him. And that's going to be something that we're going to talk about here in just a second. Some things to watch, some things Northwestern needs to do in this matchup, if you're asking me. We're going to talk about that in just 1 second. But first, thanks for making Locked On Northwestern your first listen today. For your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything you need to know on and off the court. Plus, hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. All right, so some things that I'm going to be watching for in this game for Northwestern. First off, I mean, let's start with the two big dogs for Northwestern, Boo Booey and Chase Audige. They've kind of been hot and cold. They have not had good games at the same time. I mean, we saw Boo Booey go for 35 against Illinois. Chase Audige had just 7. We saw Chase Audige lead the way on Sunday, but we saw Boo Booey have a tough night shooting. He did have 8 assists. He had 7 of those in the first half, as he did a great job distributing early. Can both of those guys, can this dynamic backcourt for Northwestern, can they both get going together? That's something we haven't seen in a little bit. And if they can, you got to feel good about Northwestern being able to hang for all 40 minutes and potentially pull out a win. Another key for that is, how much can Northwestern limit Penn State from three? We just saw Maryland go 14 of 22 from three. We saw Illinois in the second half get hot from three. I think they went 7 of 13, if I'm recalling correctly, from earlier in this episode. Can Northwestern keep a team that is one of the 10 best teams in the country at shooting the three? Can they limit their opportunities? Can they make it difficult for them to light it up from deep? That's certainly going to be a challenge. We know that Northwestern likes to trap and scramble and help. And Northwestern's ability to kind of scramble out to the three-point line and contest three-point shots is probably going to be significant in this matchup. This is a great opportunity for Northwestern's bigs. Matt Nicholson, Robbie Barron, Titus Verhoeven. This is a small Penn State team, and the bigs don't play all that much when you really look at the total time on the court. Northwestern should have a size advantage down low, especially with Nicholson. Can Nicholson have a big game with that chemistry that he has with Boo Booey? Can he get some easy opportunities at the rim? Can Titus Verhoeven continue to hit some buckets, or some layups and putbacks down low for you? Can Robbie Barron give you more than he's been giving you? And that brings me to my next point. Can Robbie Barron, Ty Berry, and Brooks Barnheiser, Barron, Berry, and Barnheiser get hot? Barron and Berry have been pretty cold. They've had a spark every now and then of a good performance, but if you get some consistency out of them on the offensive end and they start hitting their threes and they start becoming a more consistent threats, this Northwestern team can be a handful for anybody in the country. Brooks Barnheiser has been very solid. Can he keep it up? Can he continue to get better? I love the effort that he plays with, the effort plays he makes. I think he is maybe the most unsung hero on this Northwestern team with the plays that he is able to make. And he's able to hit some big momentum shots as well, as we've seen over the last few weeks. And then finally, look, this is a win that you need in order to pursue that double bye, in order to pursue a potential second place finish in the Big Ten. I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility that you can finish first with the tiebreaker, because you did beat Purdue, and Purdue has a couple games left. If they drop both of them, Northwestern wins both, they will be the one seed. Or they could be the one seed. I think it gets really complex with how tightly packed this conference is. But the one seed's not out of the realm of possibility for Northwestern. But you definitely want to get that double bye. And that's why a game like this, a game where you will be favored to win, is critical for Northwestern in the pursuit of that double bye. So that's going to be what I have. Those are my things I'm going to be watching for in this game. That's going to do it for today's episode. Appreciate you tuning in. Thank you for making Locked On Northwestern your first listen every single day. We really appreciate it. We're available wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. We're also on YouTube. Just search Locked On Northwestern. You can find us there. Wherever you're listening, make sure you're subscribed and you turn on notifications. You don't want to miss an episode, because we're going to continue to cover this awesome basketball team that's been so much fun to talk about all year long. I'm your host, Carter Bird. You can follow me on social media at CarterBird13, and I will see you all next time. Actually, next time, we're going to have a little crossover episode with the Locked On Nittany Lions talking about this Northwestern Penn State game, so be on the lookout for that. But I'll see you all next time.